Okay, we're all set. Who do I have here? Chaim Friedman was my neighbor, but unfortunately, if he appeared, I'd be in a state of shock. Let's put it that way, Alav Shalom. Are you visiting, or?
I'm a Madrid from Shraga.
Welcome. I'm just about to say, no, that's a serious problem. The whole Kollel over the years, the level, it's unbelievable. They view my courses as way, you know, luxuries. It's way beyond them. In the sense that the text, and this we owe to Art Scroll. And the question is, how do you relate to Art Scroll? I once criticized them in public, so two people told me afterwards, we're only from because of Art Scroll. I said, if that's the case, how can I criticize one more Shoma Shabbos Jew? Okay, down to work. Welcome, Chaim. My pleasure. Today is March. Do I have it right? March 3rd, 2019. And I say hello to the students in front of me and to all those listening across the wide expanse of the universe. I want to relate to a question that a lot of people have asked me, and it seems to be quite a discussion in the erudite circles. Some of you know that sometime last year I distributed a letter that surfaced in the Herzog archives that were just opened up by the State of Israel, referring to the archives of both Chief Rabbi Yitzchak Isaac Halevi Herzog and his son, the President of Israel, Chaim Halevi Herzog. And in the Chaim Halevi Herzog archives, they found the letter on Yeshiva University letterhead and signed by the Rav to Chaim Herzog, 1984. And the letter you can find on the Sfarim blog, it's no secret. And in the letter, the Rav criticized President Herzog. As you all know, the Israeli system works. It's in the news right now. If you listen to the 9 o'clock news, this came up again. Whom the president will ask to form the government. And at that time, you interview all the parties. You'll see it's going to happen after the elections here. You interview all the parties, and the president decides who to ask to form the government. Inevitably, the person who you ask will become the prime minister, because every party will bend their rules, regulations, their promises, their oaths. Everyone wants to be in the government and get some of the important positions that are part of being in the government. So it's a very important decision. So President Herzog interviewed every party, all the Arab parties, among them Arab parties that call for the destruction of the State of Israel, and he did not interview Meir Kahana, refused to interview Meir Kahana. So this was a shocking happening, and this letter, which circulates, in it, the Rav is telling President Herzog, why didn't you interview Meir Kahana? You interviewed people who want to kill Jews. Meir Kahana has problems, but there's a lot of good in him. He should be utilized constructively. It's a beautiful letter. If I wouldn't know who wrote the letter, I would say Aaron Rakefet wrote it. It's exactly the feelings I had at that time, 100%. When I saw the letter, it's not the Rav's Hebrew. 1984, the Rav was barely functioning. When did you have the Rav? In the
1970?
Okay. The last time I saw the Rav alive and spoke with him was 1983. And he was a Shevakli. He was my age, but very sad what happens to a human being. We're only mortals. So the Hebrew is not the Rav's Hebrew. The signature does not appear to be the Rav's signature. So when I saw the letter originally, my feeling was that one of the people who assisted the Rav at that time, the Rav had shamashim who helped him at every stage, escorted him wherever he had to go. He couldn't walk without holding on to someone. I know what I... when I came in 83, I made an appointment. I told the Rav, I'm coming in from Israel. And so they honored me to walk on the Rav's right side to hold him up. I mean, and there was also an Anyway, I contacted his Gabbayim at the time, among them my own students, and no one could tell me anything about this letter. All right. My own conclusion was that I can't believe anyone would have forged the letter. My own conclusion is that someone said, Rebbe, this happened, this happened, would be good. Let me write a letter, see if you approve it, and we'll send it on to Chaim Herzog. That's what I felt happened. I can't be sure. Recently, very recently, exactly a week ago, the Svarim blog published an apology. They've consulted members of the family, and the letter is an absolute forgery. It's not the Rav's Hebrew, it's not the Rav's signature. Nobody knows who did it. How does it affect me? It affects me very simply. The Hashlacha Pratap here is unbelievable. You all know I've been working very hard in making corrections on my new book, which has material which is among the most important I've ever published. And I have one section is a collection of what I've published and I feel is Ketvuni Ledorot has some importance for the future generations to know. So I'm republishing it in a book, which is more important than scattered articles here, there, and everywhere. That's one section of the book, the third section. So I have two of my articles on Meir Kahana and my response to those who criticized the Jewish action for publishing about this fascist, this murder, etc., etc. Then I thought I would add this letter, and I wrote a whole, that this letter, we don't, who knows more details? You know, and I didn't use the word forgery, I used the word that members of the family claim it's not authentic. But once they come out and say it's a forgery, I can't publish it. I don't want to offend Dr. Tova, Lichtenstein. I don't want to offend Rabbi Meir Twesky. These are the people they consulted. I don't want to offend the Rosh Yeshiva of Torah Das, Rabbi Yitzhak Lichtenstein. So I let it stand on what I published. And that has nothing to do with this letter. What is my feeling? I understand you say it's a forgery. I have two questions. Would anyone forge a letter of the Rav Yitzchak? You knew the Rav from Boston. I knew the Rav from New York. Chutzpah. Who are we talking about? Number two, and this is a more... So you'll answer, Dov, yeah, Raketet, Rebbe, you're a nice guy. You're a Talmud of Rabbi, I know, you know, I'm a direct Talmud of Rabbi Yisrael Salanta. You know, you're aware of that. I have smicha, the only, forget about that now. You're a Talmud of, you wouldn't forge it. Believe me, I wouldn't forge it. Wow, the Rav, I shiver when I mention my Rebbe's name. It's not authentic. All right, so that's one good question. Who forged it? The Gabbayim say they know nothing about it. I have a second question, more important question. In this forum blog, they tell you that Chaim Herzog answered the Rav's letter. Well, you know, it's published. You'll see it in this forum blog. I have a simple question. Where is that letter today, the answer? If you get an answer from the president of the state of Israel, someone has to have it. If we would know who has it, then we can get to the bottom of how the letter began. All right, these questions remain unanswered. There is a theory circulating, I want to be totally honest. It's someone who's no longer alive. I don't want to mention his name because he can't defend himself. And you got to remember, I'm living in Israel 50 years. And even though I know what's going on in YU today, in the 1980s, you didn't have direct communication like today with the email and all that goes on with the computer. So I have to be honest, this person whose name they mentioned, people asked me my opinion. I said, what am I, a Hasidic Rebbe? I can, you know, you don't stay with Hasidic Rebbe. They're Hasidim are arguing whose Rebbe is greatest. So one Hasid says, my Rebbe is the greatest. He walks at Shabbos here, it may be weekday here. My Rebbe is greater. Here it's Shabbos, there it's Shabbos. Well, he walks, it's the weekday. I never met this person, but I do know he was quite extreme. He was a nephew of Mr. Abrams. He was his sister's son, if I understand correctly, a Baal Tshuva, and very extreme politically and religiously. And he fought many battles in the yeshiva. I mean, I heard this long distance that the yeshiva is not frum enough, you understand? You can imagine this weekend with boys and girls together in Washington Heights, had he been alive, there would have been a torrential storm. So they say, people say, all right, he can't defend himself. It's a little bit unfair. And his life was tragic. Rav Yosef Soloveitchik, Rav Aaron's middle son, who lives in the old city, is at Tzadik Yisod Olam. He told me many times about this individual. And his life is tragic. He never married, no children. He died young. All that remains, I think, Rav Yosef says Kaddish on his yard site. All right, so this is, for all those asking me my opinion, all I can say is that the family calls it a forgery. I question its authenticity, but I thought maybe the Rav dictated it, maybe this person played with Rebbe and said, Rebbe, I'll write the Hebrew and I'll sign, or I'll ask you to sign, or I'll sign for you. One of the comments made was that it's not the Rav's signature. It's not the Rav's signature because it's too clear at that stage in life with Parkinson's. But someone said, well, he always signed Yosef Dov, Ben Hagon HaChassid, Moshe Halevi Soloveitchik. That's not true. He signed like that when he signed the formal document. Chaim, if you got smicha from the Rav, that's the way he would sign the smicha. That's the way he signed on my smicha, on Rabbi Reuben's smicha, on your smicha. When he wrote, I have many letters from the Rav. They're signed, Yosef Dov, Halevi Soloveitchik. There's no mention of his father. It's not an official document, so that does not have the signature. But it's certainly not the signature of the Rav at that period in life where his hand was shaking. All right, so that's my opinion. I leave two tremendous questions. If it is a forgery, who forged it, and where is the response? Let's move on. We have very fascinating material today. Let's go one step further. Last week, we're now getting involved. This is a little unit. It's not as major as what we're coming to, but this is a unit on the state of Israel and the way it affected Jewish life halachically. And Rav Menashe Klein, we're dealing with Rav Menashe Klein, his tshuva, and that question, you met someone on Shabbos. Chaim, you met a friend who, where are you from? Where are you from?
Toronto.
So you met Toronto, joined the crowd. So you met a friend who lives in Baltimore, at the Kotel, and you asked your friend from Baltimore, oh, do you know this or that? Send my regards. No, are you allowed to send regards to people you know in Baltimore when you meet someone on Shabbos? And that was the question. And we got involved with the whole discussion of talking on Shabbos and the sources and the Tosfos and the Midrash Rabbah. And I have to tell you, Jack lost sleep over Rav Menashe Klein and the sources, because there's no question that there's a case to be made on Shabbos that you disconnect. It's not only the modern concept and all the Balei Tshuva, and if you read the freebies, they interview people every week, what is Shabbos like? And the answer, Shabbos is wonderful, no computer, no phone, it's terrific. It's disconnect, that's mamish. Could you imagine if Shimba Yochai told off his grandmother not to talk so much? And we're not, Moshe, we're not making up the source. Yeah. It's right there in the Medrash Rabbah in Tosfot. So, but nevertheless, to what you talk about in Shabbos, and we gave all the sources last week, is defined by, if there's no Issa Shabbos in what you're talking about, then no one in the world can tell you off that you had no right to mention this on Shabbos. You said regards. If you met the people on Shabbos, you could send regards. What's the problem? You have no right to be rebuked. The question of disconnect and I'm talking too much is more of a chassidus, more of an approach to Shabbos. Jack said to me, what is Shabbos about? Shabbos is meeting people, talking with people, going to Kiddush. There's no question in my mind in the Matan Rabbinate. Could you imagine what shuls would be like if the Rabbanim said no Kiddush and no talk and no Fabrengen? But, all right, we can't dismiss Tosfos, but that's maybe for Chassidim, Anshei Maisa, Mekubalim. But to say to someone, send regards, it's not saying to someone, I want to buy stock for $25,000. All right, and that's what the Menashe Klein Paskin. But now let's go further. We picked up last week, Chelek Yud Gimel, Siman Nun. And this is what we're going to devote the shiur to today. Very fascinating. And it's written in 1991 at the time of the Iraqi War, the Gulf War, when Saddam Hussein was shooting in missiles here. It was a very tense period. I remember teaching, I was then teaching in the Gris Kol El, but I was also teaching in a program for women who came for a year after, you know, between high school and college, Midreshet Moria. And I remember two-thirds of the class went back, or half the class went back. Parents were so worried, and there's something to be worried about. From my terrace, we could see the Patriot missiles. They were primitive yet. They weren't doing a job like today. But we could see the Patriot. We'd stood on the terrace because we're up very high, and we'd see the Patriot missiles being shot up. All right. It was a very tense time. And here is someone in America who's listening to the radio from Israel Friday afternoon. It's 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and it's Shabbos in Israel. Are you allowed to listen? And this is a very serious question. So we saw last week that the person asking the question is a Lakewood student, learns in the Kollel in Lakewood. Again, Lakewood is very big today. There are endless institutions there. I would imagine in 1991, when he writes to him, Freundlich, Avram Abba Freundlich, Eben Yukaraba Kollel B'Lakewood, he means the Kollel of Beit Medrash Gavoa, of the Lakewood Yeshiva, because otherwise he would have to state. When you state Lakewood, you mean Chelek Yud Gimel, Siman Nun. Now, and we ended off the class last week, which really was very fascinating. Reb Shlomo Zalman Orbach, I gave you the source, Shmir Shabbat Gehilchata, he absolutely asses, and these are his words, Asul Lishmo B'chutzatz Reb Shabbos, Radio Shem Mishoreh Me'eretz Yisrael. And here you have it, black and white. And I gave you the example. Two stories came out when Stephen Hill died, Zichrono Livracha. As I mentioned, you can recognize the name Stephen Hill, Mission Impossible, great actor. You never watched television?
Well, that's a generation ago.
Please, they rerun it and rerun it. A Talmud of mine gave me a gift for my grandchildren. My grandchildren have no interest. They grew up here. What did I care? Stephen Hill. But I gave it away to a nephew in America. Stephen Hill, a great actor, and in midlife, he became a square chassid. Not just frum, but a square chassid. So Stephen Hill, Barbara Streisand, you've heard the name Barbara Streisand, Baruch Hashem, Yentl. Barbara Streisand called him when it was Matzoy Shabbos in Muncie, and he gets on the phone, and he says, Barbara, I can't talk to you now. Hang up. It's Shabbos where you are. On the coast, it's Shabbos, 3 hours behind New York. So that's exactly Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach. I'll tell you a story I didn't tell you last week, but it's also a cute story. How do I know these stories? Because Stephen Hill's sister, Balat Shuva, living in Yerushalayim, Tzadeket. So Malta and I know her, friendly. We went to visit her when she was sitting Shiva in Achim Avel. So she told us another story. Remember, he had two families. His first children with his first wife, I don't know what became of them, but when he became a square chassid, he remarried and married a lady who was from the square community. So those kids were raised in square. So one time a call comes in and someone on the phone asks for Stephen, and his daughter from his second marriage says, my father's not home now. whom shall I tell him who called? And he says, Dustin. And she says, Dustin, what's the last name? Dustin Hoffman. Anyone in the world would know there's only one Dustin alive. Echad, a Yiddish mensch. But she never went to a movie. A square chasida. She asked, who's Dustin? Okay, now let's go further. So this is one source which would seem to indicate it's absolutely forbidden for Rick Snow visiting his brother in Borough Park from East Flatbush, from Flatbush, I shouldn't say East, right? Where did you live? Regular Flatbush? Vic, or where'd you live?
Manhattan, Lower East Side.
Oh, when you met me in Brooklyn, you were from the Lower?
Yeah.
Wow, kol hakavod. So here he is from visiting his brother in Borough Park. He's not allowed to listen to the radio or Rav Shabbos. Absolutely not. This is the psak of Rav Shlomo Zalman, the psak of Rav Neuwirth. Okay. Rav Moshe has a very interesting question.
One second, there's another issue. If in Israel they rebroadcast
That's what I said. When you listen, you pick up Sunday morning at 4 o'clock in the morning, you hear the Israeli radio, they're rebroadcasting something they broadcast on. They recorded on Shabbos and broadcast on Shabbos live. And now they're repeating it. Are you allowed to listen? The same question? It's all part of the same question. Let me now take Reb Moshe. Before, Reb Menashe Klein is very fascinating, but first he quotes Reb Moshe. He quotes, Reb Moshe has a very interesting question. This question is from the first volume that Reb Moshe issued, Igrot Moshe Orech Chaim Chelek Aleph. This came out 1958, the Tashad, it can be 58, 59. I told you about this volume. When I was growing up, so everyone used to say, Reb Moshe Kapaska, he circulated Baal Peh. When this volume came out, we were dancing for joy, because now we had Reb Moshe in print. You understand what that meant? And that's the volume I told you, we couldn't hold ourselves back. And, you know, by 58, 59, I knew the Rav. Well, I was sitting right here. It's not my first year anymore by the Rav. Then it wasn't the second Rav. But now I inherited Joe Lewittis' seat. He got smicha, left, all right, Professor Lewittis. And so after class, we say, Rebbe, did you see your cousin? You know, if it's his first cousin once we moved, his mother's first cousin, Reb Moshe and Rebbetzin Pesha were first cousins. Their mothers were sisters. They relate on two levels. They're both Feinstein. But that relationship is, the world makes a mistake. They think Rebbetzin Pesha, Feinstein, Soloveitchik relates to Reb Moshe because it's the Feinstein. That's a distant cousin. With their mothers, they were Davidovitzes, Davidovich, we would say in Hebrew. In Israel, they say Davidovich. In English, it's Davidovitz. And they were sisters. That's a close relationship. So we asked the Rebbe, what's this on your meaning? What do you think? You know, what's your opinion? And the Rav, we could tell he was upset. So we bothered him a little bit more. So he took aim at Reb Moshe on liquid soap. Do you remember that, Yitzchak? Were you there? Reb Moshe asked liquid soap on Shabbos, that you're creating, Nolad, and the bubbles. And the Rav was furious, that's not Nolad. Basically, you know, he was, that liquid soap chuba bothered him. So we saw that the Baruch Hashem, Reb Moshe has his opinion, the Rav has his opinion, the Shalom al Yisrael. Now, what's very fascinating, so it's Orech Chaim, Siman Aleph, Chelek Aleph, Siman Kuf Chaf Gimel. Do you know who's writing to Reb Moshe? And it's a shame we don't have an exact date, but it has to be the 1950s. No, remember my classes on Monday on Reb Yitzchak Kutner? Remember what happens at the end of Reb Yitzchak Kutner's life with Reb Moshe Feinstein, with Azmar Ladin, with Rav Kepetz's explanation? No one has been able to refute me, and no one has been able to get more information. The book just came out, and I wrote in the Hakdamah, who is the real Rabbi Kutner? The Talmud of Rav Kook or the Hasid of the Satmar Rav? All right, listen to my shirim. You know what's asking Reb Moshe the Shaila? Reb Yitzchak Kutner, the Rosh Yeshiva of Chaim Berlin. Okay? This is a period where he humbly turns to Reb Moshe. Nishalti mi yudidi hagon Reb Yitzchak Kutner shlita ba'ashe shoseh hasteem ba'habayat ashagam hudashem hu Yisrael. Now, right away you see the problem that will be, as I told you, whenever we transliterate a word, someone looking at this 50 years from now, 100 years from now, who knows what the word steam means? Even today, Chaim Goldberg, not Chaim Friedman, do you know what the word steam means? What is steam? He doesn't know. You use an air conditioner. You say heat, cold, right? Follow me? It's on heat. It's on cold. Steam is the word we used beginning from, must be 1900 on, when they put into a house, you had the furnace downstairs, and through pipes, it went up to every apartment where you had a radiator, and that was called steam. No. Now the question comes up.
Yeah,
and you use the word steam? What word would you use? I hope that's right. Remember what I told you. I spent the whole year, many years in graduate school, and there were words in the Rishonim that no one, that there would be endless lectures. Marufia. What does it mean? Until today, we don't know for sure. So there's Reb Moshe writes steam, car, transliterates, but here he talks about steam. Now what's the shaila? A Jew is making steam for you on Shabbat. We're talking Yisurim D'Oraita. How do you make steam? You need, Baruch Hashem, Michael, good. Walking, Kanayin Hara.
It's not an easy process.
Not an easy. Yesh tikvah lachriteinu. Keep at it. Good to see you. No, to make steam. Eish, lo tamaru eish, b'chomosh v'alteichem. You're taking petroleum. What do they use? Petroleum? What is it called? You water, the trucks drive up and give you petroleum, oil, you burn it, create steam. And here you are in an apartment house, and a Jew is making the steam on Shabbos. Are you allowed to stay in your apartment? And this is the question that Reb Moshe gets. Not so simple. And here you get involved, and if you really want to get involved, you can do a chabura, endless sources. But I'll give you the basic source, the Gemara in Kritut, Daf Vav Amid Aleph. Kol umare v'reach ein bahem mishum me'ila. What does it mean? A voice? What are you talking about? No, you go into the Beis Hamikdash. I'm paraphrasing Rashi now. And the Levium, how did they worship God? How did they sing the Mizmorim? What accompanied them? Musical instruments. If you're a Levi, it's a special mitzvah, I would say, a special chiyav, a special consideration. Who here is a Levi? No, learn how to play a musical instrument. Because when the Beit HaMikdash, why am I saying it? No, Moshe, fill me in. Beit HaMikdash shall be rebuilt. But you have to have the ability in case they need you. I don't know, not enough musical instruments. No, tell me, you're walking by the Beit HaMikdash. You're hearing the beautiful music. Is that Me'ila? By the way, I trust everyone also I'm talking about Me'ila. It's an Issa D'Oraita to have a nod from something that's holy. Right or wrong? All types of halacha. The whole section in the Rambam at the end of Karbonat, Hilchat Me'ila, not a small matter. No, if you hear the instruments playing, Yomo gets all excited, he starts dancing, he hears this beautiful music, he's jumping up and down, he's dancing. Hey, wait a minute. Fascinating question. Okay, that's music. Mareh. And look into Rashi. What does that mean? Oh, no, the Gemara and Pesachim, what did they do with the extra money that came in? Extra money. All the Kabbanot were covered. All the Bedek HaBayit was covered. Extra money. Invested it in gold and all over the Har HaBayit. Ein Aniyut B'mokam Ashirut. Beautiful gold. Magnificent. You're enjoying it. The sight. People go to museums, look at paintings. What are you looking at? Oh, look at that painting. Look at Rembrandt. There's a painting I saw in Holland. I still can't get over. The gold was real, is it? Nope. All right, you can enjoy Rembrandt's painting. By the way, Rav Kook said he had Ruach HaKodesh. You're aware of that. So there is something to great artists. God gives ability. I look at my grandson. He can do a Hollywood movie, an animator, as good as Hollywood. Doesn't get that ability from me, though. Maybe from my wife.
You see the article on Torah Tidbits?
Yeah.
Right, you wrote about
yeah. that. Right, right, yeah, yeah. Right.
The light that
Rembrandt
was able to create.
Right. No, the Beis HaMikdash, you enjoy the light, the sight. Are you allowed? This is the question. Fascinating. The Gemara goes further. Kol Mareh v'Reyach. The Reyach, they just took the incense. And here you go further in the Gemara. I don't want to get involved in it because it's only after the incense, what had to be burned is burned, went up. But then the smoke is still in the air and you're enjoying the smell. I once, 1970, Shlomo Lekalbach rented an apartment next door to us. I live in 18 Berlin for the last 50 years, and he rented in 16 Berlin. So my wife, big Kalbach devotee, I knew Shlomo, but I'm not a big, music is music, but I have other things in my mind. But you got to make your wife happy. We went next door Saturday night, and you walked in, and wow, what a smell. Couldn't get over it. Yeah, it's a whole machlokes ha'paiskim, whether the cell was just spices or whether it was drugs, I don't know. But you enjoy. No, the Beis HaMikdash, kol. Look at the Gemara, mareh, reyach. Why shouldn't it be me'ilah? And here we get involved with a very interesting question. It's not tangible. Enjoyment means you come into a fancy restaurant and they have, for me, I'll talk today, imagine good salmon, vegetables, served beautifully. You're eating it. That's enjoyment. It's tangible. Or no, enjoyment means just looking at these plates, just looking at the ambiance. That's enjoyment. But it's not tangible. You understand? This is the question. Moshe, I haven't said a word yet. Yeah? What's up?
But by Reyach, we do make a Birchas
Hananin. Yeah, no, I understand. Yeah. You do make a Birchas Hananin, but it's still a big difference between that. It's a big difference between that type of hana to eating a good steak. You follow? Can't dismiss the Gemara. The Gemara speaks about Reyach. It's intangible. You see, I'll give you the Pesach of the Rambam. See, this is a very fascinating question. You go to a museum. You see beautiful paintings. People walk out. Oh, they're so inspired. People went to, for instance, Tel Aviv, made a deal with Philadelphia Museum and brought in some tremendous paintings from Philadelphia, showed them in Tel Aviv, mob scenes, people paid a fortune to see, and they walk out, just inspired. But where do you draw the line? Now, if we take the position, and here I want to show you, this is the Psak of the Rambam. Hilchit Me'idla, Perek Hay, Halacha Tet Zayin, Kol Umara V'Reach Shel Hegdish, Lo Nehenin V'Lo Mohalin. That this is not considered Me'idla. You shouldn't go out of your way to enjoy, but on the other hand, if you do, it's not Me'ilah. All right, if this is the case, what is steam? Steam, is it real? Is it tangible? I walked in here this morning at 6:15, and the first thing I did, turned on the heat, the air conditioning heat. No. You understand, it's an interesting question, but it's not something, what do you say, Yitzchak? It's not...
First of all, let's say it's a Jewish custodian in the building. He is putting on the furnace. He is making a fire. He is burning either it's solar or it's coal. Before
right.
He used to have coal. This is burning on Shabbos.
Right.
The fact that you... Now, the question is, when the heat comes up to your apartment...
Right.
It's the result of his doing
right,
it.
Right, absolutely. On the other hand, what you're enjoying, but what you're enjoying is intangible. It's, can you touch it? It's in the air. It's an interesting question. But if you take a hold that the Rambam's psak is it, then Reb Moshe says, maybe you can make a case that you don't have to run out of the apartment. But Reb Moshe is troubled by what Yitzchak said. That, wait a minute, kol mareh reyach. But here, a guy is downstairs and he's making fire on Shabbos. Isurim d'oraita. It troubles Reb Moshe. How can we say, all right, it's intangible, but look what that guy is doing. But now I'll ask another question. Is the fact that I can't enjoy somebody's work on Shabbos, is it a din Torah or a din derabbanan? Is it a knas? It's a din derabbanan, not a din Torah. So Reb Moshe goes a little bit further. No, my dear friends, are you allowed to tell a guy to cook for you on Shabbos? Tommy, I'm hungry. Heat up some challen for me. Absolutely not. And he said, are you allowed to go into an elevator? How much has been written? Do you live Toronto? Do you have big buildings like the Upper West Side, the Upper East Side? 20-story building. You go into the elevator. Jimmy, 9th floor. You allowed to do that? Oh boy, how much has been written. How much has been written. You're better off going to Jimmy Erev Shabbos, put a $5 bill in his hand. Jimmy, when I come in on the Holy Sabbath for us Jews, don't say anything to you. You just take me up to the 9th floor. You follow? When a couple named Malka and Aaron Rakefet worked in communist Russia, our biggest problem outside of the KGB picking us up and kicking us out was an elevator on Shabbos. You come into the hotel, you got to get up to the 30th floor. Yitzchak, remember these problems? All right, what do you do? Could you picture... You won't believe this. I have actually a picture of it that I smuggled out of Russia. I took a picture. The elevators would have floors 1, 2, 3, 6, 7, 8, 9. Three floors were missing. Chaim, do you know why? Chaim and Chaim? Those were the floors of the KGB. So could you imagine you're going to attempt to walk up the steps, which are very dimly lit at the Communist Empire. There was no money for lights. And you're going to walk into the KGB floors. You understand? If you value your life, very interesting questions. What do you do? Okay. My dear students, you can ask a guy to turn on the heat. Yitzchak, do you recognize whose doctorate is most famous work? This is Jacob Katz. Who here knows Rabbi Yaakov Katz, the scholarship professor Katz? He dealt with the interaction of halacha and sociological economic realities. Michael, you know whose Rebbe Professor Katz was? I knew Rabbi Yaakov Katz lived right next to Davin every Shabbos. I got Birchat Kahanim from the rector of Hebrew University, a giant of scholarship, Shas, Paiskim, whatever you want. He's published the Chochmat Yisrael. My classmate, Chaim Soloveitchik, who was his Rebbe when all was said and done? The Rav influenced him, Professor Shaul Lieberman influenced him, but Professor Katz was the ultimate influence. And he wrote on Goy Shel Shabbat, his classic work in Halacha. And he shows that it was impossible not to ask a guy to turn the heat on Shabbos, to burn the logs, as Yitzchak said. Why? Because there's a klal brought down already in Halacha, in the Rishonim, in the Achronim, in the Mishnah Brura, that we're all considered sick when it comes to heat. You know what that means? We just, in our building, the main pipe burst. We have no heat, no hot water. And the way the Ribbono Shel Olam works it out, dafka when you have no heat, no hot water, they're the worst, coldest days of the year. We still don't know what's happening. Maybe I told Malka, be on the lookout today, they're supposed to bring people there. It's a whole story. We'll get there, Be'ezrat Hashem, but not overnight. Do you know what it's like to be without heat? We find a shalom. We're all considered sick people. Cholish ein bo sakana b'pnei hatzina. So now, how do you tell a guy? How do you tell a guy? By the way, I have to say, I had a miracle. We put in air conditioners, and I don't even know why we never turned them on this fall. And Baruch Hashem, the air conditioners, ma'asen nisim, how they work, how quiet they are, the new air conditioners. It's a pleasure. So we had a little bit of heat. Again, I mean, we don't have enough electricity, enough power for all of them to burn together. But Malk and I said, we'll call the electrician in a few weeks' time. Let us recover first from this episode. We'll get there. But, you know, the building was built. We're the first owners. The building is 50 years old. We're here in Israel 50 years old. But, no, you tell a guy, b'mokum tzal lo gazru rabbanon. You understand? This is only an isad rabbanon. We have a klal. When there's illness involved, when there's tzar involved, the rabbis didn't institute this gezeira. They only instituted the gezeira under normal circumstances. Charlie, take me up to the ninth floor. No, that's wrong. You could walk. If you can't walk, arrange it before Shabbat. You get into the hotel in Moscow, get into the elevator, don't say a word. Get off the nearest floor to where you want to go. All right, you'll walk down two floors, you walk up two floors. But heat already is sakana. And I'll tell you in parentheses, it goes even further than heat. There's another tshuva Reb Moshe, an halacha Reb Moshe, and it's part of modern life. We grew up in the Bronx. You know how hot New York can be during the summer? All right. Grew up in the Bronx. Before our time, people used to sit, Malkin's parents, grandparents come from Brooklyn. East New York, Bensoners. Everyone sat the hot summer days. You sat on the porch outside the building, outside the house. Everyone sat and gossiped at night. You couldn't be in the house. It was too hot. At least outside there was a little breeze. No. Nowadays, who sits outside? Who worries about the heat? Air conditioning. No, Vic is davening in a big shul on Shabbat Eti, and they forgot to turn on the air conditioning. Something went wrong. It wasn't cold enough. The crowd is too big. Immediately, Vic sends for the custodian of the shul, inevitably a non-Jew. Fix the air conditioning, Shabbos. No, what do you say? Allowed, not allowed. Dove, what do you say? Rav Moshe says that nowadays we're so finicky that just like we're allowed to tell a guy to turn on the heat, chas v'chalila without air conditioning we'll suffocate, we'll be uncomfortable, we can't daven, we can't concentrate, we can't let the rabbi speak. Ah, let him turn on the air, let him adjust the air conditioning. Yitzchak, yes.
What you're talking about is having a Gentile do it.
Right, right.
Now, ask the question. A Jewish...
I understand. No. I understand.
You're giving an answer to the
question. I'm not giving any answer yet. Now I'll give the answer. I'm quoting Reb Moshe, but these are the sources he's quoting.
These sources are not related to the issue.
No. So what Reb Moshe... Relax yourself. So what Reb Moshe says, number one, enjoying the steam may not actually be asa. It's intangible. Enjoying steam is not any different than kol mareh v'reyach. Number two, even if you consider Yitzchak that, please don't make a comparison. This is a Jew who's working the furnace on Shabbos. How can you allow him to do it and you should be nechaneh? So Rav Moshe says, the whole concept of not enjoying the work of another Jew, if a Jew cooks for you on Shabbos, the whole question, if he doesn't b'shogeg u'mezid, is it asa li'olam, is it only asa k'dei she'yaseh? And you all know the halacha, the basic halacha. All these stores that are Jewish-owned and under supervision, if you have a donut store, or what do you call it, the Dunkin's Donut, and it's owned by a Jew. So you'll see a sign up, everything in this store is kosher, but you're not allowed to come and order anything until 1 hour after Shabbat. Why? Because they're open Shabbat, and you don't want donuts that a Jew or under a Jew supervision, these donuts were made on Shabbat. It's asa k'dei she'yaseh, it's considered a show, whatever. If it's a mezid, it could be it's asa li'olam, it's a different story. But Rav Moshe says, even considering what Rabbi Reuben is saying, you're dealing with heat. And heat is sakana. We are sick people when it comes to heat. We need our heat. And therefore, since it's an Isa de Rabbanon u'bemokam tzar lo gazu Rabbanon, he tells Rav Chutner, you don't have to run out of the house. And this is the answer he gives to Rav Chutna. So here too, a very interesting tshuva, that it might very well be that listening to the radio is not something tangible, it's not real, it's not something that you can bite into, and therefore it's don't run out of the house because of steam. You don't have to turn the radio off. You have a right to listen, even though he's broadcasting in Israel. On the other hand, you can look at Rav Moshe's tshuva a little bit differently. That in relation to the steam, it's a question of health. In relation to listening to the radio, what's benefit? You can hear the radio after Shabbos. So you didn't hear it at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. You'll hear it after Shabbos. So he quotes Reb Moshe. We're not certain he would ask. In other words, Reb Moshe is dealing in a slightly different question. But one thing is for sure, if you take the point of view that Kol Marev V'Reyach is not forbidden, there's no Me'ila, then perhaps listening to the radio is no different. It's only an intangible voice. So you see, Rav Shlomo Zalman is asas. Shmirat Shabbat Gehilchata Asas. Interesting how Shmirat Shabbat Gehilchata, already as early as 1991, is taken very seriously by Rav Menashe Klein, who's a Ungarische living in Borough Park. Two different worlds here. Rav Neuwirth is a Rav Yeshua Neuwirth is a Yekka living in Bayit Vagan, a Rosh Yeshiva in Kol Torah, and Rav Menashe Klein takes him very seriously. So Rav Menashe Klein says, yes, could be that this question has been discussed. It could be that there are people who prohibit it, and particularly Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach. I don't want to put my head between such great individuals. It could be Rav Moshe's Tshuva, you can interpret either way in its application to here. But he says, I have my own thinking. And let me be honest, and let me state my point of view, but it's not la halacha, because I don't want to argue with such giants, but let me make myself clear. And here he comes to a whole analysis of what physics, what a radio is, how it works. And I have to tell you that from our Monday class, you know, Professor Morty Tarrigan is one of the students. He's a physicist. And he said that what Rav Menashe Klein elaborates here is absolutely correct from a scientific point of view. And what he says, look, when it comes to something like fire, if a Gentile makes a fire for a Jew on Shabbos, or if a Jew makes a fire for a Jew, even more so, there's no question that he is enjoying that fire that was made for him on Shabbos. So you may pop in and say, look, I'm a good Boy Scout. I made many a fire in my time. Yes, the original fire, I burn my chametz, I make a fire. No, when you make a fire, the original fire is you made. Afterwards, that fire creates more fire and more fire and more fire. It's not the original fire anymore. But the fire, it may not be the original fire, but it's all connected to the original fire. If not for the original fire, you can throw all the paper, newspaper in the world into some rocks. Nothing will happen. If you made a fire and you throw in newspaper, I don't have to tell you what happens. This newspaper was not there when the original fire was made, but there's a continuity. It's that original fire goes paper one, paper two, paper three, paper four. It's all part of the original fire. What about broadcasting? I sit here, I have a microphone in front of me. Could you imagine if this were Purim, and we're reading the Megillah, and you're hearing the Megillah being read, is it my voice, or is it the microphone? Now, it could be we can make a case, and probably correctly so, that in this little classroom, how big is a classroom? You're hearing the microphone, but you're also hearing my voice. If I push the microphone away, you hear my voice. You see, it's partially amplified and partially the real voice. But wait a minute, what about people listening on the telephone? People listening through the computer? Whose voice are they hearing? And here, Rav Menashe Klein explains that once the person speaks and it's picked up by the radio, there is no connection to the original voice. השידור האלקטרוני משדר את הקול המדבר באוויר העולם. ונמצא עכשיו קול אלקטרוני דומה לקולון של המדבר בשבת. This voice that you're hearing is an electronic voice. It's not the real voice of the original person. Maybe the word I have to use, he creates vocal waves. And these waves are in the air. And no one will hear them except if you have the proper implement that will pick these voices up. And that's why you have a person in America who has a radio, and his radio, his makshir is the Hebrew word he uses, which is the correct word, modern Hebrew. This makshir picks up the waves from the air. Hamakshir kolet et hakol shel hamadaber, but it's not the original voice. The original voice halach lo legamrei, ele kolet kol shenaseh b'shidur chashmalai eklaktraniti u'mishader ba'avir holam b'chol makom. And he says it is simple that the radio that you're listening to in New York is not the voice of the person speaking in Israel. It's the voice created by the waves in the air. He created it. It's all over. You have the proper implement to receive it. And you're now listening to him, but it's not really that person. Very, very fascinating. If that's the case, then there's no direct connection with the original Chilul Shabbos. More than that, it's a call. And if a call has no me'ila, then what's wrong? This is not total proper enjoyment. Hold off. And he goes one step further, and I need not tell you how much has been written about this. And he says, this is the reason that we are not Yotzei Megillah. We're not Yotzei any halacha, havdalah, where you have to hear it from a human being. If you hear it over the radio, you hear it over the television, you hear it over the telephone, you are not Yotzei Dechiyav. And specifically, Megillah, Havdalah, what else can you think of? Kiddush doesn't work out because I hope the Mekadesh will not be Mechal of Shabbos speaking over a microphone.
Any of the
Megillahs? Well, the Chiyav is on Megillah Testa. The other Megillah are more of, according to the Gra, there's a Chiyav, but most of us don't paskin that way. But there's a Megillah Esther. Now, what do you do? And this Shiloh reverberates. What do you do when a widow, I've seen this many times in homes where there's an old grandmother, I shouldn't use the word old anymore, I'm supposedly in that age bracket, but there's an old grandmother, and they call her, and when they make Havdalah, her daughter is holding the phone next to her husband. She should hear every word. Yotzei, not Yotzei. Kriyat Megillah. These are serious questions. And what do you do? You'll see in a second. This is the whole question with a cassette. Rav Moshe deals with it. Are you allowed to throw a cassette out? You have a cassette. Again, cassettes don't exist today. But you have a cassette, reel-to-reel, or a cassette, which is the more modern development. I still saw where they recorded, believe it or not, on wires. It's an amazing thing. you get a recording from the early 40s, the late 30s. It's, you have to go to the Smithsonian Institute in Washington and pay a fortune to have them break that down into a computer program, because they can still play. Well, it was something beyond words. We had paid for it to break down recordings made of the Rav in the 30s into the 40s. After which, you know how they recorded the Rav? There was one Yotzeit Shir, a very famous Yotzeit Shir, Kodesh V'chol, recorded on records, 78 RPM records. You had about 10 different records, but then you could break down on your own. You didn't have to go to the Smithsonian, although today, who has a record player? But what do you do? The Rav suddenly drinks water, makes a bracha. Do you answer amen? Is it a bracha? Does it count? I mean, these questions, and according to Rav Moshe Klein, in all these instances, you are not Yotzei. I have to admit, with Havdalah, people recognize, maybe Bidiyevit will say she's Yotzei, she heard the Havdalah, she thought the Havdalah, you follow? It's in her own mind she's actually saying the Havdalah, Baruch HaMavdil, because to be Machmi here, what do you do, Taka, with someone who's housebound, who doesn't go out in the cold, who's can't walk properly, Vic? You understand what I'm saying? An older person, Mendach Rachmanis Haben, but it's a real interesting she'ela. Yomo, what was troubling you? Tomorrow at about 10 to 10, I want you to go downstairs to greet the people and take them up to the classroom, okay? Okay, we made a deal. What's troubling you? You wanted to ask something or it's answered?
I'll tell you
what you're asking. Believe me, this question comes up time and time again. I just saw it in one of the weekend freebies. You're asking the question that a guy named Aaron Rakefet asked in the 70s. I wrote to Rav Moshe and he'd never answered, because I think I should have written to Rav Menashe Klein and would have gotten an answer. Afterwards, I spoke with the Rav, and I spoke with Rabbi Lichtenstein. The question, if someone stops you on Shabbos, they're driving, and Slicha, Eich Magim L'Rechov Al-Chacharizi. No, how many people, do you know where Rechov Al-Chacharizi is in Yerushalayim? Baruch Hashem. Yitzchak, do you know where it is? You do or you don't? No, so there. Yitzchak's living here how many years? Over 30? 40 years. Can I Harav Hashem bringing him here? 40 years. No, he doesn't know where Rechov Al-Chacharizi is. So it's a street. Barry Liebman lives on Rechov Al-Chacharizi. Barry, and so it's beyond Ramban. It's a little alleyway. I wouldn't even honor it by calling it a street. A car can get through, but with difficulty it can get through. But sarut. So it sounds like, how do you get to Al-Chacharizi? No, do you answer him? You don't answer him. If you answer him, you can spare endless Chilul Shabbos. I taka know where Rav Al-Chacharizi is. I know it's one way. I know which way he should go in. On the other hand, Misayei L'Dei Avera. But it's a very interesting question. The Rav told me, Chaim, the Rav told me, Mori Rebbe, give him the most direct directions. He shouldn't be Mechal Shabbos unnecessarily. You know, he's not going to get out of the car. He's going to knock the umption of a Rebbe. There's a whole story in Bayit Vagan in the 50s. It's a classic story where a couple drove in from Tel Aviv, survivors. They were either you were Sfardi or you were a survivor in Israel. You'd have payish, your native language was Yiddish. So they see this man walking in Bayit Vagan, which then was not like today. It was a mixed community. And they asked him how to get to this place. And the person started to cry. And he said, you're asking me, min frek me av Shabbos vitzim achal, Shabbos sign. And he started to cry. And these people got out of the car and they parked it. And they said to him, we feel very bad. You remind us of our parents. But we're afraid to leave the car here. A car was like, when we moved in 1969, we had an elevator. People from all over came to see the elevator. We had a lock on it. You couldn't use it without a key. Who saw a beautiful car like this? These were well-to-do people, Tel Aviv. So the Rebbe said, I'll ask two Hasidim to stand here till after Shabbos to watch your car. These people became big supporters of the option of a Rebbe in Bayit Vagan and became Shomrei Shabbos. But we're not at that level. So it's an interesting question. So I told Rebbe Aaron Lichtenstein what the Rebbe told me. Rebbe Aaron didn't like the answer. Rebbe Aaron said to me, it's Messiah Yeladei Avera. That's exactly what Yomo is asking. One tremendous difference, Yomo. The person driving the car is directly benefited by your answering him. When I'm listening to Chaim Yankel broadcasting in Israel, he doesn't even know I'm listening. One has nothing to do with the other. And even if you'll answer me that they do surveys, how many people are listening? Sure, those surveys are in Israel. No one knows how many people are listening in America. I'm sure they do. Now with the internet, if you download, they'll tell you how many people downloaded. A record has been sent, this Rosh Hashiva and why you gave a shiur, and 792 people are downloading it, all right? That still doesn't tell you anything, because the downloads are passed on. Out of 792 downloads, 10,935 people listen to the shiur. You follow? So it's a good question, but the answer is stronger than the question. But he says, Ula Marshall, Kaseta shall tape him. Again, Chaim Goldberg doesn't know what he's talking about. Chaim, when they started, you know what year they started recording the Rav? 1956. You know who was in charge? Aaron Batz, Tzadik Levracha. The Rav only trusted him because they knew each other from New Haven, Charlie Batz. I hope you've heard of these names. Yiddishkeit exists in New England because of these names. You know how many people it took the recorder? Four people had to carry it in. Know how heavy it was? Then you came to cassettes. The Rav was defeated. Yitzchak, tell him what I mean. The Rav was defeated before. When they did reel to reel, the Rav took it. Don't show it to anyone. Don't let anyone copy it. Don't let it out of you. Your hands. Cassettes, even the Rav couldn't win the battle. If people can forge letters, what we spoke about an hour ago, if people could forge letters in the name of the Rav, they could sneak the recording. You understand that it's unbelievable how many recordings were made legally, semi-legally, illegally, but that's cassettes. So he says, for instance, Lamashal, if you have a tape cassette, Sheshomim Mimatzeh, and you're listening to some lecturer, you don't say anything, even if he makes a bracha, even if he reads the Megillah. It says, you're not listening to him, you're listening to the voice that the cassette recorded, and the cassette already is a different voice, a different object. And the cassette, the osa musica, shedoma b'miksat l'kol hamashbiya v'hamadaber. And the cassette, yeah, you're listening to Reb Shlaimele Karbach. It's not Reb Shlaimele. It's something that is an imitation of his voice. Abol ze pashut shehu kol shel hakli hamachshir. It's not Shlaimele, it is his voice. The same thing with Shabbos. Once someone records something on Shabbos, you cannot say that it is forbidden to listen to. Once it's recorded, you're making 1,000 copies, but those are copies of a klisheni, of a grammar, of something that resembles its voice, but it's not exactly the voice that was Machalos Shabbos Lo Aleinu. And this takes us to the question I raised all the years. It troubled me. And now we solved the problem. You go into the great computer, type in Yesila Rosenblatt, the greatest chazan of all times, a Hasidic Jew. No, you'll find recordings made clandestinely on Rosh Hashanah. Could even be on Yom Kippur. How can you listen to them? You have recordings, they refurbish them, they spruce them up. Absolutely permissible. The guy who recorded it was a rotten oisvaf, a trumpenik, a pushtaknik, beat the hell out of him, kick him out of shul. But once the recording is there, it's not Yosef Rosenblatt, it's not the Shabbos desecration. It's a copy, it's an imitation, it's an attempt to emulate. But you can record it and record it and record it, and there's no problem of Chilul Shabbos. Movies were made in Russia clandestinely of the davening under the communists. You had 1981 on the Israeli TV. They had entire programs on what was going on in Russia. I recorded it, but all my good recordings today are in videos. Who has a video player? You can't even buy a video player if you want to. It's sad. Everything is phased out like a human being. You did your job, out you go. And the German television, I remember the 2 weeks, a good few hours of what's going on in Russia. Half of that was recorded clandestinely on Shabbos. Are you allowed to look at it? According to Reb Menashe Klein, absolutely allowed. So you see, he takes a very lenient opinion that, number one, this is not the Chilul Shabbos. The Chilul Shabbos is out of the picture. These are waves. This is an imitation. This is an attempt to equal or be near, but it's not the same. It's not B'makari shown. And number two, it's no more than a voice, no more than a call. Are you enjoying it? Is it hitting home? It's intangible. This is not a stake. It's not someone giving you a lift on Shabbat, where the car is taking you, you're having direct benefit. It's tangible. This is intangible. And Ein lo shum shayachat la'shidur harishon ela kolet misham l'makam acher echad o sheni ad sheniklat meharedio. And everyone over the world can be listening. And everyone can make recordings, and everyone can take it further. But it's all a result. He uses the word in transliterization, the station in the Medina Hashnia. And from there, the radios pick it up. Havidavar achel legamre she'ein lo shayachat im hamishader shehu ha-Yisraeli she'oseh Hamalacha ha'asur b'Shabbat. But you are a klisheni, a klishlishi, or pachot, less than that. It's koach to koach. It's a distant grumma. And there is no problem with your listening on Friday afternoon. Now, let me just make one comment here. My nephew, Dr. Zev Rothkopf, who listens to the Shiurim, he mentions that the word radia, which could be is where radio is derived from, is mentioned in the Gemara and Medrash as having a voice that reaches from the end of the world to the other end. See the Gemara in Tainit Chafhei Bet, and the Medrash Bereshit Rabbah on Tahom El Tahom from Tehillim. And in all these places, he gives me the exact quote, you see that the word radio is mentioned. So it could be that originally when the Sach Rach, the Sach Rachok was not accepted, that the radio had a bigger following because they identified it with the Gemara and the Medrash. And that's the word that won out. Now, he also makes a comment, and it's in the Weekend Freebies, that this question of what a Jew can do on Shabbos and high tech, a new problem just arose. He was asked if a Jew, Rav Yigael Shaffrin, who I know from BMT, he taught here in the 70s, he's a great expert today in halacha and medicine, halacha and technology. He was asked if a Jewish engineer can monitor and correct the trajectory of the Jewish spaceship now in orbit. The question was asked, no definitive answer was given. And now I found out from the freebies that the prime person involved in preparing the spaceship that we sent up is a Jew whose native language is the same as Yomo's, but with one big difference. Yomo grew up in the Ukraine from a family of some religious roots. This gentleman grew up, his name, by the way, I believe is Friedman, grew up in a Chabad house. His father was arrested and exiled for teaching Torah. And Baruch Hashem came in Aliyah, devotes his life to Torah, to Chabad, and he is a first-rate scientist. The main individual, it seems, on this project. And he asked the question, if they Shabbos, you see, he did many things for the army on this level. But in the army, there is no she'elah. Why? Pikuach nefesh. The whole concept of having an army is to save our lives. So if you develop something where you have to keep it in motion on Shabbos and may occasionally have to intervene, it's like the heter of why we can use electricity. Right or wrong, you know what I'm talking about? If you're from the Chazon Ish's crowd, you have to build your own generator for Shabbos. But most of us do use regular electricity. Electricity, first of all, most of it is, it's 99% automatic. Your hands don't touch it. But if there's a problem, hands do have to touch it. And Jews have to touch it and correct it. Chaim, what's our heta? Because hospitals and the army are clued into the same system. Pikuach nefesh. So I read this in the weekend papers, that if it's the work that this great Jewish scientist of Russian origins did in the army, there was never a shaila because it's pikuach nefesh. But now with the spaceship, is this pikuach nefesh? That's the question. If it's not pikuach nefesh, how can you play with it on Shabbos? I don't know. The question, according to my nephew, was not resolved. In the article I just read, in one of the weekend freebies, where did I read it?
Chabad sheet, I think, tells
me. Chabad?
Yeah, I think their sheet
tells me. I didn't see it in their sheet. I saw it in Ruach, something with Ruach, whatever it's called, Matzav HaRuach or something. It's one of the great weekend freebies. It pays to live in Israel. You get a free newspaper every day, Yisrael Hayom. The country's going to cave in because of Yisrael Hayom and those who tried to stop it. That's a different story. And you get Shabbos, all these freebies. We better show you can only make a living here. It's worth everything. Okay, but it's an interesting question. What do you do? On the other hand, it's prestige. We're the fourth country in the world to go up to the moon. Maybe it has military implications. Maybe one day we'll be able to destroy our enemies by shooting from the moon. No one can reach us to shoot back. I don't know. Question hangs fire. I'm not a scientist. We'll leave it for the Monday class, for Professor Tarragon and for Dr. Hexter. Let them give us an answer. But what a fascinating question. And let me end off. The last paragraph is very moving. I saw in the weekend freebies the Chaver Knesset Glick, right? You all know who I'm talking about. What's his first name? Yehuda. I taught his brother, I taught his sister, I know the family. His brother was in this very kollel, Yitzi Glick. I know his parents. His father brought my brother and Aliyah, medical doctors, etc. But he suffers from that syndrome that many of us in my world have, enmity towards the Haredim. And I say, don't have enmity. Understand the Haredim. Studied with Rakefet for 20 years, 30 years. Wait till I get, God should spare me the lectures I have prepared on Eastern Europe. No enmity. They're frightened to leave the ghetto. Chaim Goldberg, do you understand them or not? You left the ghetto. I left the ghetto. No, what the heck happened to the Jewish people when they left the ghetto? We should be 40 million Jews today. Where are they? You should know what's going on in the Jewish agency. There's only one word everyone talks about. Pluralism. Why doesn't someone get up and say, you machalalei Shabbos ochlin mevenet and trefet, without Yiddishkeit, every Jew will disappear. You'd both have. Assimilate. Read the Pooh report. You need Rakefet to tell you this? From Jews, didn't write the Pooh report. But afraid, I'm afraid. We're a different ilk. I am proud to say I am a Torah Jew in the Western world. My Rebbe is sitting right here with me. I emulate my Rebbe, Moriah Rebbe, Rebbe Yosef Dov HaLevi Soloveitchik. So Yitzchak, so Yehuda Glick, oh, what he writes, we got to form a coalition without the Haredim. That way we can solve the religious problems. And yeah, give the kotel to the reform, to the conservative. God have mercy. All of separate seating begins at the kotel. Look at the sugya in Sukkah, the Beit HaMikdash. We spoke about it, Daphne Nalef, etc. But you don't understand. The Haredim are good Jews, just like we are. And they're raised with that feeling. And here, Rav Manad, that feeling of fear. All right, Rakefet made it, but did David Hartman make it? Did Yitz Greenberg make it? No, answer me. You have an element in Chovevei Torah, did they make it? What's the most important factor in our lives? That Yiddishkeit should survive, Torah should survive. The minute we water it down, yeah, one generation, it's like a blanket. Jack, did you ever have a child who was attached to a blanket? Now, what did a psychologist tell you? Every day you cut away 1 inch. That's Yiddishkeit. You cut away 1 inch, now the next generation cuts another 5 inches. And by the time you reach the fourth generation, they're intermarried. And it's statistically 100% true. Statistics don't lie. The last paragraph is very moving. He says, look, you absolutely should listen to the radio, Erev Shabbos. We're at war. Saddam Hussein is throwing rockets into Israel. We Jews living outside of Israel are very worried. We only want to hear good news from Israel. And many of us, v'habei yesh lanu krovim u'banim, we have many relatives living in Israel. V'chol Yisrael achenu b'nei Yisrael chem, and every Jew living in Israel, even if it's not blood relative, is part of the Jewish people. Lefi ani v'dati hanach lachem liYisrael. Let Jews listen to the radio. Ein b'zeh shum misa b'erev Shabbat u'b'erev Yontov. And person broadcasting, all right, he's not doing the right thing, but there's no knas involved here. And he ends off, but nevertheless, if some goyim tzaddikim that we cited before want to be machmir, if we should be machmir, Ein ani omed dati lipsak halacha klal. It's lahadil Torah lahadira. What a beautiful conclusion. I can tell you how true this is. I was in the Hasidic part of Borough Park for 5 weeks during the last war. What's it, 3.5 years ago already? And I can tell you, these Chassidim, Satmar, Bell, whatever, they were tuned to the radio. What's going on? My grandson was wounded in battle. You all know that. You can't believe how many people came over to me, what they could do, how they could help. We wanted to come back, but my daughter said, you'll just be another old grandma and grandpa to worry about. Finish out your work in New York. We were worried Stiffy wasn't getting the real story about my grandson. You understand, they were hiding the facts. And the stories, Baruch Hashem, they operated. And thank God he's fine today. Psychologically, he's more right-wing than I am, and that's pretty hard to be, but that's a result, I would say. Like Malka. Pretty hard to be more right-wing than me. My wife does it. She does it. Can I inherit? So much more to say. It's a beautiful tshuva. Tell you one story. In the hospital, so my son-in-law and daughter rushed down. He was in Aza, and the ambulance took him to the hospital in Be'er Sheva, where they operated within an hour of his arriving there to get the shrapnel out. And he was fortunate they could do it. They had friends who were hit, and they had to leave the shrapnel in because it was near vital organs. So my children are there, and the army puts them up in a hotel right near the hospital. And the women are coming around, giving out food. And my wife says to this lady, come in a big pot of rice, good food, Israeli food. Svadik lady says, what restaurant is this from? And the lady is like offended, restaurant, this is from my house. And the greatest Rabbanim eat in my house. You don't have to worry, she thought. Another story that came out of it was Dayalot from El Al were visiting, going from bed to bed. Stewardesses in English. I'm living here too long, I think in Hebrew already. All right, it's a good sign. And my daughter asked them, did El Al send you? No, they said our flight was canceled and we wanted to do something to show our support. And they came out of their own free will, no one sent them. The other part of the story is my grandson is a twin. So he lost, when they were hit, they were going out of Oslo. This paratroop unit was the first one in. And they were being replaced now by another unit. And they had all their personal possessions with them. So his personal phone was lost. Later Hamas had it. It was on Arab television that they have a God, I don't even want to talk about it. But the phone was lost. So his twin, who now is rushed down to the hospital, and he works in each kid found a job and what interests him. He's in high end, this type of thing with phones, high tech. So he says, no, this is not good. You lost your phone. He calls the company, and within an hour, a whole delegation from the company came with a brand new state-of-the-art phone and with a whole package of candy, and they took pictures. In other words, it was for them publicity, but the goodness of their heart was overwhelming. And here we have to make a prayer that we should feel this unity, not only at times of crisis, but at all times. We're Jews, we've come home after so many years of exile. We've done so many miracles here. We've absorbed so many immigrants. Just think, a poor country, what we did. And imagine we can send a spaceship to the moon and join up with America, Russia, China, and Israel. Beautiful children. Let me reiterate. Baruch atah Adonai Melech Haolam she'hakol nehyeh bedvaro. All right, so Reb Menashe Klein, in theory, is willing to be Matia. It affects me personally because when I'm in America, when I'm outside of Israel, I always am listening to the Israeli radio. And according to Reb Menashe Klein, you don't have to make a cheshbon. You can listen, Kol Zman, it isn't Shabbos for you. You can listen. Whether he's right about the physics, I have a feeling he is correct. And this affects all the halacha to being Yotzei Havdalah, being Yotzei Kriyat Megillah. Imagine hearing Shofar, if that Shaila could come up. Imagine hearing Shofar via a amplifier. Are you Yotzei? Not Yotzei. And this Shaila is halacha lemaisa. You're in a hospital for the sake of argument. In America, it could very well be they have one person blowing shofar and they're amplifying it, a guy is amplifying it. All the Jews should be able to listen. Are they Yotzei? It would seem no, that under these conditions, you're not Yotzei. All right, we have one more step to go next week. It's also a very, very interesting class. Tomorrow, Be'ezrat Hashem, we pick up where we left off last week. We're picking up with Rabbi Young. Tomorrow at 10 o'clock, 13 young ladies from the Ukraine, not the Ukraine, from Odessa, South Russia.
That's Ukraine.
That's the Ukraine, Odessa? Oh boy, I better not mention... Wait, I better not mention Russia. I'll be in real trouble. Now, I'm supposed to be here. I want to mention next week, I'm not teaching, I'm out of the country. Next week, nothing of big earth-shaking business, just with my wife and children. Sunday, I'm out of the country from Sunday through Friday. Okay, so 1 week we're losing, and then we pick up again Sunday, Monday, right before the week of Purim. And wow, the year is galloping. Now, I want to give out a whole slew here, very interesting material. One of these goes to Yitzchak, and one goes to Moshe. If anyone is interested, my Talmud, the Rabbi Dr. Mark Wiener, sent me Chulin. It's not Chulin, it's the Shas that was produced after World War II by the American Army. Vada Tzala was involved in this. And the interesting introduction, when I was growing up, these shasim were all over the place. This is most interesting. I have a student, the Moshe Nissen Vina, who I taught in the 1960s. And he's gone on to become a big Talmud Chacham, and he's beating the heck out of me on two levels, that I don't have a beard and I don't put on Rabbeinu Tam Tefillin. Here is a quintus he just published, why we should put on Rabbeinu Tam Tefillin. Very interesting, he has all the facts in here, including the Litvisher answers that I would give him, etc. This was published by YU. It has to do, Chaim Goldberg, what we were talking about earlier today, what are we going to do in a world that will no longer have books? The future of the book. This should go to Morty Tarrigan. It's the problem that both of us had a week ago at Sheva Brachos for our grandchildren. What do you do with a cup of wine after Sudashli Shit? Both of us did the same thing, which was correct. But there are three different opinions. I couldn't believe what I uncovered. This is from Michael Miller. Relievers have broken baseball. We have a plan to fix it. You will enjoy this, what's going on with baseball. Chaim, the world is changing. Nothing remains past this fact. Here's the greatest ever. I don't know if you're caught up with this. This is all over the Israeli news. There was a wedding in Bnei Brak at the Waqshal Hall, Charedim, and the Kala got up, went over to the band, took the drums, and started to beat away at the drums at the wedding. The Edah Charedit warned the hall and the band they will take the Hashkacha away if that will ever happen again. So I'll tell you about my wife, her reaction. She said, a woman beating the drums, she doesn't like. But yet, when there was a Rebbe here in the Kollel, Rabbi Hefter, when he got married, his wife played the guitar.
That now, he
now he gets sneaker to women. My wife said, playing the guitar is one thing. Now, this is a classic article by Benjamin Brown. I'm not happy with the illustrations. It deals, let me tell you, have a minute, I'll tell you a story. B'didi Havayuv, that happened to me. The women who support Yeshiva University in the 1980s, 1990s, that had to be, every month they would meet in a aristocratic home for a special lecture. And these are women whose husbands give hundreds of millions of dollars to YU. So lo and behold, Aaron Raketer is invited to give a lecture in this home. Mindy Lamb, Rabbi Lamb's wife, Rebbetzin Lamb, invites me. And the topic, you know, the Lambs know me, I taught their children, and the topic they want me to speak on is the Gerer Rebbe. It was very interesting. A woman involved in planning it later says to me, Rabbi Rakefet, forgive me for saying this to you, but the last lecturer we had spoke on the Rav, and all he spoke about is what he told the Rav. Please, tell us about the Gerer Rebbe. I said, believe me, I haven't told the Gerer Rebbe much. I did meet the Gerer Rebbe, but I said, you don't have to worry. So I give this lecture, and the people love it, but there's one lady there, the Gerer Rebbe's niece, Zichrono, a big, pardon me for saying this, a big devotee of mine, and I helped her where she, a genius lady she became, I made a shidduch, I made her, she winds up president of an investment firm because I introduced her to the right people, but she died young of that damn cancer, which we got to get rid of, B'ezrat Hashem. And her daughter was there. So a daughter comes over to me after the lecture, a young girl in her late 20s, let's say, and says, "And Rebbe, why didn't you tell them about the Gera Chumras in relation to sex?" I says, I told her, look, this is a different crowd. I wanted to tell her, what do you think, I'm an idiot? I'm going to tell these sophisticated modern Orthodox Jews about some of the Gera, which is unbelievable. They're, you know, I don't want to go into it in public. It's not something you want to talk about. But yeah, is like the Catholic Church. They view sex as a sin. I remember Rabbi Fabian Schoenfeld, he remember him telling me about his grandfather that from the day his grandmother had menopause and couldn't conceive, they slept in separate bedrooms. That is not a Torah approach. Okay? At least not our Litvisher approach.
Avraham did that.
Who did that?
Avraham.
It's not a Litvisher approach. Anyway, this is an article on the Kedusha crisis with Ger, and he takes on Toldot Aharon and Slonim. Ger's version is the most restrictive and the only one formalized as a set of ordinances, takunis. Very fascinating article. With that, I want to wish everyone a Shavua Tov, a Chodesh Tov. I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for coming and honoring me with your presence. Be'ezrat Hashem, I wouldn't miss tomorrow's Shayua for all the celebrations going on in North Korea today that South Korea and America is calling off their great military exercise. The ruler of North Korea is enjoying a hearty breakfast of rice this morning. Until we meet again in health and happiness, das vidanya. Chaim, it's for you. Yomo, you got your job.